I'm going to start just a really short series we're going to do for this week and next week, and then we'll have Mother's Day. I think that everybody here would agree if we were more like Jesus, the world would be better. Like nobody, right? We don't, that's not a controversial statement, is it? I think most honest atheists would agree with that. If people were more like Jesus, the world would be a better place. If we were more like Jesus, I mean, our workplaces would be better, right? Our marriages would be better. Our families would be better. We would be better. We would have more peace and more joy and more faith. And no matter how you measure it, becoming more like Jesus makes everything better. The question is, how do you do that? Well, I said this on Easter Sunday, and I want to say it again today. I want to give you two habits that will change your life. So the name of this series is Closer. How do you get closer to Jesus and closer to being like him? There are two habits that will change your life and would change anybody's life that would do them. And here's the first one. The first habit is this. It's just very simply engaging with the Bible. Now, I hope that you brought something to write with. I hope I'm going to give you a lot of thoughts today. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. And I hope that you'll jot some of these down and take them with you. Because if you do, and you apply them, you're going to see a big difference in your life over time. When Jesus was leaving the earth, he was just days before his crucifixion, he had a really intimate meeting time with his disciples. And in that meeting time, we also have some really personal prayers that he prayed over each one of them. And in that prayer time, he said this in John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth, and your word is truth. Now, if you've been following with us a little while, you might remember 2 weeks ago, we gave you a definition of what sanctification is. Sanctification is the process of becoming more like Jesus. All right, now, so follow me and connect that with John 17:17. Becoming like Jesus only happens, according to John 17:17, when truth is active in your life. And what is truth? Well, John 17:17 tells us God's word is truth. And so without the Bible, you and I are going to have very little or very limited sanctification in our life. In other words, we're not going to grow very much. We're not going to become very healthy. We're not going to become very spiritually mature. We're not going to become more like Jesus if his truth is not activated inside of our life. So without the Bible, you and I aren't going to become like Jesus. Now, I want to give you some good news on this front. There's some growing interest in the Bible that's happening today. In Great Britain, according to the latest report that was just released, Bible sales in Britain have increased since 2019. They've shot up 87%. People are buying Bibles in Great Britain. Is that amazing? 87%. Now, let me give you another part of the story. Do you know who's driving the increase? Gen Z. Gen Z is driving niggas. Now, why does that matter? You're like, you know that's a long way from Alabama, right? Yes, I'm aware that that's not like a neighboring state. But here's why it matters. Oftentimes what happens spiritually in the world, what's happening in Europe or that part of the Western world, is a harbinger of what's going to happen in America. So in other words, Europe went into spiritual decline, and then America has followed it. But now there are parts of England where the church is coming back to life. And we're starting to see that to happen here. But it's one of the signs of it is how people think about the Bible. Now, one expert commented on the change that's currently happening in Great Britain in the culture. Listen to this. We are at the center. It's, you know, spelled British English. We are at the center of a significant cultural shift regarding matters of faith and religion. Atheism, once considered by modern society to be the view of most rational adults, no longer seems to carry the same weight or appeal. God's moving. Things are changing. So, why is Bible engagement so important? Here's why. About 15 or 20 years ago, a study was done called Reveal. And to my knowledge, it's, you know, the only it's unique among studies in a few ways. And what the study sought to do is to find out how good of a job local churches are doing at making disciples. In other words, at bringing people into maturity in faith. How good a job are they doing? So the study did a deep dive into 1,000 local churches to find that out. And here's one of the key things they found out that's very, very interesting. There was one spiritual practice that had a greater impact on growing a person's faith than any other personal spiritual practice. In fact, this practice was so powerful that it applied to everybody at every stage of faith. So whether you just accepted Jesus last week at Easter or you've been walking with Jesus for 50 years, it didn't matter. This one habit was so powerful that it was catalytic and it caused more spiritual growth than any other one. And according to the study, they called it reflecting on Scripture. Now, I'm calling it this morning engaging with the Bible. It's kind of the same idea. It's not just reading. It's reading and saying, what does that mean and how can I apply it to my life? So we have a little bit of scientific study on this. So now here, what exactly is the Bible? Let me just give you a little background before we jump in. John chapter 1, verse 1 says it like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus and dwelt among us. So what is the Bible? It's the revelation of Jesus. That's what the Bible is. So how can you become like Jesus? How can you follow Jesus if you don't have the revelation of Jesus? That's what it is. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all scriptures God breathed. It's like his voice. It's what he spoke. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, let me give you a kind of a short list of some other things the Bible is. The Bible is a sword that pierces. You could jot these references if you want to. It's a light that shines. The Bible is a mirror that reveals. It is a path to purity. The Bible is a meal that nourishes. It's a seed that reproduces. It's a fire that consumes. It's a defense against temptation. It's the source of our faith, and it is the truth that lives forever. So maybe if you're tracking along with this, you say, okay, so I got it. So if I just read the Bible, it'll change my life. I want to say something that may sound controversial. Reading the Bible will not make much difference. Reading the Bible and applying what it says to your life will change your life. Knowledge alone will not make much difference. Just because you know more, it won't make that big of a difference. So we read to gain knowledge, but without putting that knowledge into practice, nothing really happens. Pastor Rick Warren said it like this: the Bible should give us a bigger heart, not a bigger mind. Isn't that good? The Bible should give us a bigger heart, not a bigger mind. The Bible is meant to transform you, not inform you. So engaging the Bible will change your life. Jesus actually gave us a story that I think illustrates this so well, teaches this so well. In Matthew chapter 7, he told a story about two men who built a house. And everything they did in their construction of the house was identical in every way but one thing. And that one thing made a giant difference. So the first builder built his house, and here's what happened to his house, Matthew 7:25. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. That's what happened to the first house. Okay, here's the second man, and here's what happened to his house. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. So they did exactly the same thing, except one difference. One house stood, the other one crashed. What was the difference? Jesus actually explains the difference in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Would you just say that with me? Puts them into practice. There's the difference. Is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then it explains why the second builder's house failed. Look at verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So in this allegory, in this metaphorical story, what's the difference? The difference is in what you do with Jesus' word. Right? That's the difference. They both heard the same thing. They both, as it were, read the same Bible. One of them applied it and put their house on the rock. The other one did not, and their house was built on the sand, and it collapsed when life got tough. Reading and practicing will change your life. Reading and not practicing is like building your house on the sand. It won't make much difference. So that explains why every now and then you'll meet someone who knows a lot about the Bible, and they may even quote a lot of verses, but they're not much like Jesus. Because they're not putting into practice what they're reading. It also explains every now and then you'll find a Bible scholar or someone who's given their life to that, the science of interpreting Scripture. Sometimes some of our Ivy League divinity schools will have chairs of the departments who are atheists. And they know more about the Bible than you and I are ever going to know. But everything that they know about the Bible hasn't caused them to become closer to or more like Jesus. Why? Because knowledge will not transform your life. But if you put it into practice, it will change your life. The point of the Bible is to know Jesus and become like him. Everything else is sand. Everything else is a porous, terrible foundation that won't hold up when you need it to. Now, not that we need scientific evidence, because if the Bible says it, that's enough, right? But it always helps to hear other things like this. So the Center for Bible Engagement did a giant study on 40,000 people to try to measure what difference does it make in a person's life, not when they read the Bible, when they engage with it, what difference does it make? And here's what they found. When a person engages with the Bible one time a week, it makes zero difference. Among 40,000 people, they could detect no difference. If they engage twice a week, no difference. If they engage three times a week, little difference, little bit. But when they engaged four times a week or more, it shot off the chart. And I want to read to you the differences that they found among 40,000 people that engaging with the Bible four times a week or more, let me tell you the difference it made. Feeling lonely dropped 30%. Anger issues dropped 32%. Bitterness in relationships drops 40%. You know one of the best things you can do for your marriage? Engage with the Bible. Alcoholism drops 57%. Sex outside of marriage drops 68%. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. Viewing pornography drops 61%. Sharing your faith jumps 200%. Discipling others jumps 230%. So listen, I just want to say this. My strong encouragement to you is to make Bible engagement the number one habit in your life. Number one. Put it above every other habit. If you can only fit one personal spiritual habit, put it above everything else. Because what the Bible says about it and what the research say about it are all agreeing this is what's going to bring you closer to Jesus and make you more like him than anything else. So I have a question for you today. Do you have a Bible engagement plan? Because you know when you don't plan, right, nothing happens. Do you have a plan in your life to engage the Bible. If you don't, I want to encourage you to take notes here now, because I'm going to give you one that I think will be very helpful with you. So every January, we do a 21 days of prayer, and we always write for you a devotional that you all follow in that process. Well, this past January, the one of the most powerful things happened that you would have no way to know, but every day our pastors and some of our staff read through the 21-day devotional and did our own personal soap, and I'll explain to you what that is in a minute. But as we were reading through it, each week when we would meet, we'd come in and share. I'd say, everybody just share one of the devotions from the week, you know, share your thoughts from it, what it meant to you. And we're sitting here in this meeting, and one of our administrative staff, I'll tell you who it is because she's out of town, Allie, she's out of town, so maybe she won't watch this, I hope not. She read her prayer and thoughts, and can I tell you, our eyes filled with tears at the truth and the power and the transformation that came out of that moment, not only in her life, but touched us. And as we went around the table in that meeting and shared our devotions from the week, it was one of the most moving, probably the most moving meeting we've had this entire year. God was in the room. Jesus was in the room. Every one of us had the same experience. We had a perspective shift. When we engaged the Bible and we tried to wrestle with how would we live this out, man, Jesus met us there, and it made such a huge impact on us. So I want to show you how to do this. It's simple. SOAP is an acrostic. Each letter stands for something. S-O-A-P, right? SOAP. So what you do is you find a passage, choose a book, I would say, of the Bible that you want to read through, and choose a paragraph, say 5 to 10 verses. Just read till there's a natural break. And then what you're going to ask is you're going to ask this question. As I read that paragraph, that passage, what verse or verses stuck out to me? Like, what just caught my attention? All right, so that's your scripture. You're going to zero in on one or two of those scriptures. Then you go to observation. Then you're going to start to ask questions like this. Well, what did the verse say? Who was talking? Who were they talking to? What was the truth that was revealed? What does it mean? You're just trying to understand it. Then you go to application. And that's when you, now you just went past reading. You just shot straight past reading. Now you're getting to the good stuff. And now what you're asking is, how can I apply the truth that I just read to my life today? How can I apply it today? What can I do to apply this truth, make this truth part of my life? And then you just end with prayer. And that's where you just thank God for His Word. And you, ask Him to help you apply what you just learned, okay? Now, I want to show you a SOAP today, okay? This summer, we're going to continue every summer we do a series on a book of the Bible. Last summer, we started on the Gospel of John. It's a long book, I think 21 probably chapters. And so we got last summer to about chapter 8. We'll pick up this summer 8 to about 15, and then next summer we'll finish, but we do a study. And so knowing that, I've been doing my own SOAP readings out of the book of John this whole year. I've just been tracking along. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you a live SOAP. And what I mean by live is I have nothing written down. I glanced at it. I didn't really prepare. So I don't know what's going to happen. It might not be good. I don't know. I'm just warning you. It might be bad. I have no idea. But I'm just going to do a SOAP for you this morning, and I'm going to read it. And then I'm going to walk through the process and show you how it works, okay? Are you ready? Everybody okay? You still breathing? Okay, here we go. I didn't know. I couldn't tell. Put a mirror under your nose. I'm not sure what's happening. Okay. So John 18, 15 through 18 is the next passage that I would read in my own devotional time. Like tomorrow morning when I woke up before I did anything else, I would have on my schedule to turn to John 18, verse 15, and start reading and do the SOAP. Well, I'm just going to do it today, because that's my next passage. All right, here it is. You ready? Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. because this disciple was known to the high priest. He went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." Now we know he was, right? But he said, "I'm not." This is his first denial, by the way. I'm pretty sure. It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep him warm, but also was standing with them warming. Peter also was standing with them warming himself. Okay. So that's my passage. Let me tell you the scripture that stuck out to me as I read it. Can you circle back to, let's say, verse 17 and 18? Let's just go back to 17 and look at that. This stuck out to me. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I'm not." And you don't have to go back to it, but I just noticed this for the first time today. When Jesus went into the high priest's courtyard, Peter had to wait outside. He had to wait outside. He couldn't go in. And so what's sticking out to me in this passage is that the Apostle Peter is sort of feeling like an outsider. Like Jesus is going on to places that he can't go, and he's walked with Jesus for three. This is what I would write down if I was writing it down. Peter's walked with Jesus for 3 years. He left his fishing boat, and he left his job. And now the person he's been able to walk with, he was one of the three too, if you remember, on the Mountain of Transfiguration. And so now he's not just one of the 12 disciples, he's one of the three. And he now Jesus is going somewhere he can't go. And I might imagine that makes him feel a little insecure and off balance. Like what's happening? Things are changing. And so then when we get to verse 17, the thing that I noticed is somebody just looked at him and point blank asked him, "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" And so he's already on the outside looking in. Things are changing. He's not sure what's going to happen. And so he just, you know, the day before is the day he said, "I'll never deny you." You know, and now here we are. And he just says, "I don't know you." You're right. I'm not, I don't know him, he says. "I'm not one of his." Now here's the other thing that's interesting. Verse 18 says it was cold. And he stood by a fire warming himself. So that sticks out to me. It was cold, and he stood with these servants and officials who weren't disciples. And now he's in their company trying to process this. "Jesus went in there, I can't go." You know, sometimes you say something and you wish you wouldn't have said it. Like Peter's like, "I'm not one of his followers." Can you imagine as he's standing there in the quiet of the night, warming his hands over the fire, shivering, thinking, "You know, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Why did I say that?" So that's what I observe. So that's the scripture. That's my observation. How would I apply it? Okay, now here's where it kind of hits my heart. I would say that every time I have a moment in life that I feel like I'm on the outside looking in, Lord, I don't want to do anything to deny you. I don't want to deny you with my life. I don't want to deny you with my testimony. Every time some pain or suffering or rejection comes in my life, I don't want to mishandle that and back up even further than I feel. Sometimes when we feel rejected, when I feel rejected or something, I might have a tendency to back up one more step away. And how I want to apply this truth is, I don't want to be like Peter. When I have moments like that, I want to take a step further in, not out. And then I notice he's cold and he's out here by this fire. I think another application for me would be when I am in the company of people who aren't believers, when I am in the company of people who are skeptics or doubters, when I am in the company of people who are misaligned with the truth of God's word somehow, I don't want to compromise. I don't want to say things that I don't believe, and I don't want to say things that I don't mean, and I don't want to say things that I'll regret later. I don't want to deny Jesus with my words or my actions or my attitude. I want to be as faithful to him when I'm surrounded by people who believes he doesn't exist as I am standing here on Sunday morning with you. I want to be the same person. Do you see how the word will gut you? And so here's my prayer. Here would be my prayer. Here is my prayer for my soap today. I'm so glad you joined me for my devotions this morning. Here would be my prayer. Lord, help me to receive today the acceptance of God that is so powerful and so overwhelming that I don't need to look for acceptance anywhere else, because you have covered me and included me and accepted me. And even when you do things I don't understand, it doesn't mean that you've separated from me. And Lord, today I pray that you would help me to be faithful to you and to lean in toward you when life is pressing me, or there are people who aren't following you around me, or people who disagree and have different opinions. Lord, I pray you would help me to be faithful in that moment, to be gracious and loving and truthful, and to be the same person in that environment as I am in any other environment. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for giving me a truth to live on. And God, I pray you'd help me to live it today. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's my devotions. That's how they would look. So do you see what you can do? I had no idea what was going to be there, and neither do you. But every morning you can open your Bible, and man, it's a new adventure. If you'll open your heart and open your mind, God has living truth. He has living truth to inject into your soul, into your heart, into your mind. And you do that every day, you don't think that'll make a difference? Man, that would make an incredible difference in your life. I know for those of you who may be just starting out with the Bible, or maybe you've never really had a pattern, I know the Bible can be intimidating. It was written over 1,600 years with 40 different writers in at least 3 different languages. And so here's my advice to you if you're trying to establish, wherever you are, however long you've been a Christian, that's not what I'm talking about. Where are you at in your engagement with the Bible? If you're starting that journey, here's my encouragement to you. Find a translation that's easy to understand. There's nothing spiritual about reading things that are complicated, all right, or languages that you don't understand. Find a translation that's easy to understand. I recommend the NIV. It's a great beginning point. New International Version, it's kind of generic, general language. And I highly recommend the Full Life Study Bible. It has good spirit-filled notes. Excellent. It was actually written to pastors in South America because people were getting saved so fast and people were becoming pastors so young, they couldn't train them up fast enough. So they wrote the Full Life Study Bible to be a companion for those pastors. It's an incredible tool. And then I would say choose a shorter book of the Bible and just get up every day and do what I just did. Just read a paragraph and do a soap on it. And I'm telling you the difference it'll make in your life. I'm just telling you it will change your life. Now, for those of you who need to go a little deeper, I've got good news for all of us. Do you know the Reveal study I mentioned earlier? Amen. Somebody's ready for good news. The Reveal study that I mentioned earlier of the 1,000 churches, let me tell you one other thing they found. They found that Bible engagement is 2 times more effective for people who are in the upper half of maturity. So in other words, the more mature you become in Jesus, the more the Bible's going to impact you. Isn't that amazing? Nothing happens like that. Usually, the further you go along, yeah, I already read that, I already know that. No. This is a miracle book. It's a supernatural book. So actually, the more you grow in faith, the more deeply the Bible's going to impact you and change your life. God's taking you to better and better places. So for those of you who are deeper in faith, who go, yeah, you know, I've kind of heard all this. No. The Bible, I'm telling you, will change your life. So how do you go deeper if you've been walking with the Lord for a while? Well, here's the first thing I'd kind of say to everybody, but especially you. If you don't have those 4 days a week, if you're not there, start there. Get a minimum of 4 days a week of engaging with the Bible and get that moving in your life, and you'll see a giant difference. And then I would say for those of you who've, you know, walked with the Lord for a while, read whole books of the Bible and learn the context, because the truth is not just in the text, it's also in the context. If you read the text and you don't read the context, you might only know half the truth. As a matter of fact, you might know none of it, because the context tells you what the text actually says. So read a whole book. Really take in what it says. And look, I'll tell you something that I did many years ago that had a deep impact on me. I chose short books of the Bible, and I said, I want to go deeper. So I'm going to pick every book of the Bible that has 4 chapters or less. By the way, there's 18 of them. 4 chapters or less. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to, because that's about as many chapters as I can read in a day and still, you know, understand what I'm reading. So I did 4 chapters a day in one book. I would do one book a month. So it took me 18 months to do all 18 books. And what I would do is the first day I read all the background stuff, who wrote it, where they write it, the theology, all that stuff. And then I would read the book every day. And then I would write notes. What did I see? What insights am I getting? What questions do I have? And you know what was interesting? Sometimes on day 19, I would read the same chapters every day. And some, like on day 19, I would see something go, has that been there all other 18 times? How did I not see that? You know why? Because God's word is deep. You can't get to the bottom of it just by skimming or reading it once or twice. You're going to spend the rest of your life. Because the wisdom of the God of the universe is in that book. And there's no way you and I are ever really going to finish it. Now, here's all I would say is make sure that whatever reading method you use, you're heavy on how do I apply it. I'll tell you one quick story. So last fall, a couple in our church reached out to me and said, hey, there's something happened in our life that we wanted to just update you on. You know, can we meet with you? So we went and met, and we're talking, you know, catching up. And they said, we just want you to know that we really think that God wants us to use us somehow to help other people. So as we started talking through that, I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? And they said, well, about a year and a half ago, we started this deeper level engagement in the Bible. And we've been Christians about all our adult life. But never have we gone this deep. And never has it. And they're literally, we're sitting there at this restaurant, and they're just crying. They're saying, it has changed our life. Like, it has absolutely revolutionized. And we understand the Bible in ways we never did. We understand God in ways we never did before. We see things we've never seen before. It's changed our life. And now we're on the middle of year two, and we think God wants us to share this maybe with other people and take this journey with us. And so this January, Brady and Melissa Wilson started a life group on this, with this idea and this passion. And you know what? So when you get down to the bottom, you go, now how did that happen? How did that happen? It came down to one thing. They read the Bible. I know that's not sexy. You know what I mean? It's like you're looking for two things that'll change your life. We're looking for some secret thing. It's not secret. You know why? God's revealed it to us all. Thank God it's not a secret. Wouldn't it be worse if it were a secret? It's not a secret. So would you stand with me this morning? And as we sing this last song, and next week we'll have one more habit to give you. As we sing this last song, would you close your eyes and just ask God to speak to you? God, would you just speak today, online and in person? Lord, would you just speak to us today? Just ask him, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to my heart. And help me to hear. Lord, help me to hear what you're saying. In this moment, in this season, help me to hear what you're saying and help me to understand what you're doing in my life.